The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Happy Friday, once again. It always seems to happen. Now, let me do a little bit of background here for those of you who don't know. Harry Cooper is in Argentina right now. Admiral Cooper is down there on a research investigation. As you also know, Harry has been number one in terms of disclosing, uncovering, and reconstructing actual world history in World War II and thereafter, especially in Germany and in South America, Paraguay, Argentina, and so forth. We have established through his hard work that tens of thousands of high-ranking German officials, their families, and so forth, did in fact go to South America after the war. We have also, and most importantly, established that Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun did not die in the bunker. Whoever was shot and burned outside was probably one of the doubles. The issue is South America, and especially Argentina, is full of Germans, as I mentioned. Tens of thousands. We don't know how many. They had a plastic surgery clinic down there. They had everything. They had the full help and support of the Juan Perón government. This was a deal in the works for a long time. The Mercedes family built a home down there, a just-in-case kind of home, on a magnificent piece of land on an enormous lake in Bariloche, Argentina. And in that home, it is believed, with a great deal of evidence, including the direct verbatim confirmation by someone who grew up there as a young boy on the property, as his father was a former SS officer and was in charge of the grounds. This kid grew up there. All right. Without belaboring this anymore, Harry went down on a very special trip. A lot of people helped him. We put this thing together. He offered to go, of course. And the story was to interview this now older gentleman who, as a boy, grew up on the, well, we'll just call it what it was called, Inalco. I-N-A-L-C-O. That's the name of the estate. It apparently has well over 1,000 acres attached to the lakefront home site. Now, we've shown you, during Harry's visits, many times pictures of the house and the inside of the house, which somehow Mr. Cooper was able to pull off. Well, we went back down there, all of us pushing and supporting and helping and encouraging this research trip, so Harry would be able to once and for all nail this down by interviewing the now older gentleman who, as a boy, grew up there. I'm not going to say any more than that. It is also known now that a German film crew, obviously watching every single thing that Harry Cooper had been able to determine, to discover, to unbury, and to construct, they went down there to Inalco 3 years ago. We do know that the interview was set up before Harry left. It didn't come off the way we thought it was going to. And I'm going to let Harry tell us the story. The other sad part of this is the house itself, and many of you remember from seeing the pictures, absolutely gorgeous, built by the Mercedes family for Mr. and Mrs. All right? The house and that entire area was covered with volcanic ash from a Chilean volcanic eruption. Nobody bothered to clean it off the house or the grounds. So the grounds suffered, the house has suffered. There are other things going on there which we don't know yet exactly has transpired. Things have been going on there. Let's find out if we can hear Harry. He's down there in a hotel in Argentina. Are you there?
Buenas tardes.
Yeah, buenas tardes is right.
Yeah, you've just about heard half of all my Spanish language.
That was pretty good, pretty good. All right, now, we also, and I don't know that they've been posted, Harry was just able to send me half a dozen or so photos that he just took of the house and the estate, and I'm not sure if they have been posted yet or not. So, let's start with the bad news and move forward.
Well, the unpleasant news is when the old caretaker showed up, it wasn't the old caretaker, it was his son now, and it caught us all by surprise. For some reason, his father couldn't or wouldn't attend and sent his son, but hearing Dad's experiences through the son is hearsay. So, at any rate, we did have some really great news out of it, aside from the negative part that the old guy didn't show up. We're planning a return probably in August.
You're going back in August. Do you have some kind of encouragement that would be a worthy trip to go down and meet this man who used to be a boy and grew up there?
The primary reason for the August trip, if it comes together, will be to go into Brazil and meet with the two doctors there, and then go into Paraguay for some other research into where Mengele had been living, and also Gestapo Mueller, and where they met with Hitler there. We've already talked to, as you know, last time I was here, we talked to a couple of ladies there. One was a curator of a German museum, and the other one was a waitress or whatever at the resort where Mengele used to hang out. And both of them said they had, the waitress was the one who said she saw Hitler there with Mengele, with Gestapo Mueller, and with Stroessner, the dictator of Paraguay. So that's the primary reason we're going back. But if my contact here, Martin, if he can nail the old guy's feet to the floor, I'll extend it a few days and go interview the guy. So
now he sent his son. All right.
Yeah.
Did he get cold feet? Has he been threatened? Has he been bought off by a German film crew? Has he sold the rights to his life story to 20th Century Fox and MGM and Harry Wasserman? What the hell's gone on?
That I can't answer. I don't know.
I know.
You mentioned a German film crew. That was not in 2015. That was something else. The German film crew was just here 2 days ago.
I was at
the, and they ran all over the place, and the poor caretaker, and his wife had a hell of a time cleaning everything up because they had sandwiches. And when I was in there yesterday, there was jelly slopped on some of the makeshift tables. The sad thing, Jeff, all the furniture is gone, including that table that you love so much. And they set up some 4x8 sheets of plywood on sawhorses in there, and that was their tables. And they had slobbered some jelly on there and some other stuff.
So they took out the 1950s furniture, the beds, the chairs, the sofa, yeah, which in all
everything.
Likelihood were used by Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun. It's the best guess we can make. We can't prove it. No one's saying that we can. But what happens here is that there are a lot of people interested in history, not for history's sake. They're interested in history for money's sake, okay?
Yeah.
And we've been there too many times to count over these many, many years. So I've been doing this, and Harry's been doing it. And I smell several rats. I just do.
Yeah. Well, what you mentioned about 2015, that's what I just told you in our pre-broadcast. The son of the old guy, he said that the Hunting Hitler
right.
comedy show, as
yeah,
I call
yeah.
it, according to this guy, they came to Inalco in 2015 without any permissions, without asking if they could be there, and they just came on the property and apparently somehow got into the house and did some filming there. So the people who own the property now have brought
yeah.
legal action against them, according to what Camilo says. So, but now, 2 days ago, there was an authorized visit by a German film crew. And, you know, if they didn't think Hitler lived there, I don't think they'd have sent a film crew all the way over from Germany, which costs a ton.
Of course not.
I don't know about these particular people, but I went with a film crew many years ago as an expert or whatever you want to call it. These people had no concept of saving money. Jesus, I come over, I'm staying right now in the Navy hotel here, which is costing me about $45 a night with a really nice breakfast. These people, when I came over to Germany some years ago, they were staying in $400, $500 a night, and me too, because I was part of the group, but they're $400, $500, $600 a night.
Mm-hmm.
They have no concept of saving money. So this film crew was there 2 days ago, and I don't know what they filmed, but we were fortunate yesterday. We were given absolute, unescorted, free access to everything on the property, and there's parts that I had never seen before. I had seen, you know, the manor house, the one I let myself into in 2008.
Sure.
And again in 2009 when I came there with the group. And we had that photo, you've shown it on your show many times, where we're all standing on that beautiful, lush lawn out front. Now it looks like a lunar landscape. And where we beached our boats, where the Hunting Hitler people had some guy looking like a frogman swimming up to the beach secretly, quietly. Anyhow, that used to be a nice, smooth access up to the green
sure.
lawn. Now there's about a 5-foot-high berm from all the volcanic ash. We talked to one fellow who made a ton of money in that area. The town is called Villalangostura. It's V-I-L-L-A.
Mm-hmm.
In any other Spanish-speaking area, that would be Villa,
mm-hmm.
but in Argentina's Villalangostura. When that volcano erupted, this guy bought himself a truck and made a fortune hauling volcanic ash away.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was anywhere from 4 to 50 centimeters deep. However, I have no idea what that converts to, but I've seen pictures of Inalco right after the volcano erupted, and it just looked terrible. It was covered with volcanic ash, and just one would assume that somebody would have cleaned it off, but apparently nobody cleaned it off. The house has gone just to rack and ruin. The wood is rotting. The roof looks like it's going away. Some of the huge, big flower boxes under the windows, one of them fell off. They're busting out windows, and it was almost like going to a funeral.
Well, thank God you did get there when you first did, and you have the pictures, and you were in there.
Yeah.
And the furniture was in there, and
right.
50 centimeters is about 20 inches. And so the guy made a lot of money. Where did he take all the ash? We don't know. So there's a big berm of ash between the dead lawn area and the water now. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, where they took the ash, a lot of people who needed fill bought it, I guess. So he got paid by the government to haul it away, and then he got paid by the people to dump it in their landfill.
Right.
But
well, somebody somewhere who owns that house or is related to the owners of that house and property took that furniture for a reason. If it was just old cast-off furniture, they wouldn't bother, right?
Well,
that makes sense.
I don't know, but I know the table that you fell in love with,
yeah,
that right now is sitting in the new caretaker's house because his name is Torres. He lives up the road a ways, and I asked him where it went, and he smiled. "It's in my house," he said. So,
the next time you go down there, I'm going to give you a sealed envelope for him.
How would you think about getting this home?
You can work it through TSA, can't you? Somehow.
Yeah, I'll bet you, and this is no exaggeration, I'll bet you that table weighs every bit of 1,000 pounds.
Right. Well, that would have been quite a scene to see him move it, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I certainly can't put that in my carry bag.
No, that's a great table. It's one big piece of wood. You'll see it in the photographs. If you go to sharkhunters.com and look for the Inalco pictures, previous tours. Yeah.
In 2008, Argentina.
Somebody was taking care of the home up until not terribly long ago. Then something happened.
Well, it would appear to me that after the volcano blew up and put all that ash all over the place, apparently it never got removed from the house by humans. You know, the rain took it away eventually. But now there's moss growing out of the wood.
Uh-huh.
And the seams between the logs, there's moss growing. And, just like I say, it's like going to a funeral. It used to be that brilliant, bright yellow Argentine wood that they have here, and now it's just all gray, faded.
Yeah, well, you said, I want to apologize. Harry did send some pictures, but my connection to get them uploaded now has gone offline. So we'll have them up there in 4 or 5 hours by the time you wake up tomorrow morning looking guests. And those photos should be under Harry's name. In the meantime, we have put up the photos of Inalco that we have used before, so you can see what it did look like, and then you'll see the after. It's not too late to restore it. It just needs to be pressure washed, cleaned, treated, but it requires somebody with money and a will to do it. It can be done. But
healthy amount of money, that's for sure.
Right. What bothers me is that once again, we're seeing and we're bearing witness to your work being exploited and used by others. And I know you're a gentleman about this. You except when we're off air talking between us, then you can really let it go. But these people are just dirt. Rather than contact you, so work something where you get acknowledgement, right? Maybe involve you somehow in whatever project. You'd be happy to help them, all right?
Of course.
But it's all of these people steal. They're thieves. They're con artists. I have no respect for them. None of them.
But
because Harry Cooper
isn't, isn't that the way of Hollywood nowadays?
Of course
and
it
related
is.
Industries?
Yeah. You are the source of all this. If it weren't for you, none of this would be known. None of it. Oh, maybe eventually it would be found out. But I'm beginning to think now that the young boy who grew up there, who's an older man now, either was threatened, intimidated, or bought off. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
I don't know.
He had an agreement to meet with Harry, and he sends his son instead. All right.
A lot of times the caretakers, etc., have unique concepts of their responsibility. For instance, Torres is not supposed to be letting people onto Inalco, but he let the film crew there. I think they paid him a chunk of money. I gave him a $100 tip. But at another section of the lake, you know, the tower that's called the Saracen Tower that was built, we believe, as an observation post so that anybody coming to Hitler's home would have to pass this tower and be reported. Well, it's privately owned, just like in Alco. You're not allowed there, but we drove up fat, dumb, and happy, and we went around to the back of the mansion because the owners were out of the area, Buenos Aires, I guess. So we got to talking to the caretaker who came out right after his two huge watchdogs mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. just kept slobbering all over my shoes and wanting to play catch
vicious,
the stick.
Vicious dogs.
Yeah, right. So since I don't speak Spanish, and Martin was talking to this guy, and I kept throwing the stick for the dogs and moving further and further around the front of the house where the caretaker couldn't see us. Me, and so then I...
Oh, the old dog stick trick. That's very good.
Yeah, right. So I waltzed on up to the Saracen Tower. I got to within about 50 feet of it, videotaping and snapping snapshots, and which is the closest anybody's been able to get. And this caretaker took his job seriously. He suddenly realized what was going on. And he told Martine, "You must leave now. I don't want to become a violent man." That's what he told Martine. "I don't want to become a violent man." Okay.
Wow.
So saddled up and left. So, like I say, the caretaker of Inalco Torres, if somebody waves some money under his nose, I guess, because, you know, he took a healthy chunk from the German film crew, I'm told, and I tipped him $100. But at the other place, the Saracen Tower, no, absolutely not. He didn't want any part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right, hold on a minute.
The old man, who knows?
Yeah, we have to pause just for a few minutes. We'll come right back with Harry and get the latest from really one of the biggest stories in our time, the aftermath and what really happened following the collapse of Germany at the end of World War II.
Proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Why won't Big Pharma ever tell you or your doctor the honest truth about cancer? Just about 100 years ago, cancer was a rare disease, but now, today, it will strike one out of every two Americans. Think about this. Is a headache caused by a lack of aspirin in your diet? Is cancer caused by a lack of radiation or chemotherapy? Does it make sense to add a lot more toxins to an already toxic body? In fact, you're six times more likely to die in a hospital than fighting in the Vietnam War. How is this possible? Who is allowing this to continue and why? What can you do about it? Well, those questions and many more are answered on this website, cancertruthinfo.com. and sign up for their free mailing list and stay updated with the very latest in ultimate cancer cure information. That's cancertruthinfo.com. Okay, let's get right back to Harry, who's up late down there. All right, I have good news. When you go to the homepage, go to Rents at the homepage and look in guests. Look under Harry Cooper, the first guest. You'll see the first link is Photos of Inalco Interiors. And then under that, Latest Photos. He just sent them to me about an hour ago, and they're on a page, so you can take a look. In fact, let me see if the link works.
Everybody else can see him except me. The internet at this hotel leaves a lot to be desired.
Maybe they don't have it.
Well, no, they do have it, because that's how I sent the pictures to you, but it's sporadic.
I'm kidding. Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's sporadic.
Well, they got the guy outside.
Internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had better internet when I was down in Villa Langostura than here in Buenos Aires.
They must have cell phone, smartphone networks all over the place there, too, for the locals.
Oh, they absolutely do. But, boy, I'll tell you, that is god-awful expensive. Electronics here, cell phones, electronics, that stuff, holy smoke. You get a thumb drive or, zip drive, whatever you call those things that you stick into the side of your computer. You can buy them all day long back home for $10-$12. Down here, you're looking at $60 and above.
Huh.
When I go to Germany, I buy a burner phone for about $40 and put some minutes on it. Down here, that same burner phone costs you about $500 or $600. The taxes are incredible.
Wow. Okay. So, I just got the photos to load up. They're in thumbnail size, and you can click on them, and they'll magically enlarge.
Yeah, I didn't have a chance to reduce them.
That's okay.
Go on. Go ahead. No? Well, I'll be back in Florida in another week, and as fast as I can get them loaded up onto my website, sharkhunters.com, people can look at them. And if people would like, your listeners, send me an email at sharkhunters@earthlink.net. and say they want a free copy of my magazine. We'll email it to them as soon as I get back to Florida. I can't say as soon as I get back to civilization, because Buenos Aires is a magnificent city. They call it the Paris of the South. Mm-hmm. And right now, the Yankee dollar is powerful, boy. 25 pesos to the Yankee dollar. Or better. I bought something the other day. They gave me 27 or 28 pesos exchange. So it's, it'd be a good time. Now's not a good time because it's dead of winter. We had to shovel snow off the car this morning to leave Longestore to come to the airport and fly here.
All right.
Dead of winter.
All right. We have four photos up, and the first one is the long shot, the wide shot of the house with the car on the left and smoke coming out of the chimney. At least we hope that's smoke from a fireplace coming out of the chimney.
Yeah, that was a fireplace. We were trying to stay warm. It was 0 degrees Celsius, which is 32 degrees Fahrenheit, and there's no heat, no electric, no nothing in the house, so we had a fire going in the fireplace. And I wound up throwing cardboard boxes in there because it was cold in there. Man, oh, man, I'll tell you, everything was just like living in a freezer. So, yeah, that one, I took that shot especially to show the comparison between what it was then and what it is now.
Right. Okay. I'm looking at the second picture, which is a close-up of the front of the house. And I can see the stonework looks gray, the masonry, the horizontal timbers. This house could be brought back. I've done this kind of thing before. It's
sure,
not too
it
far
be brought
gone.
Back. All it takes is somebody with a ton of money and the desire to do it.
I could do it with two guys in a week.
I understand it's up for sale now, I think I said, for $23,000.
Million.
€23 million euros, which is about 30 million Yankee bucks.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it's 450 hectares of property. But that's about all that's left. We went about 500 meters further through the jungle to a part I had never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
They had raised racehorses and St. Bernard dogs and Great Dane dogs. I don't know quite what that relationship was, but there was probably 10 or 12 buildings in this complex. One was a casino, or a small one, and there was also a starting gate like you have at the Kentucky Derby, only it's only three stalls where they would do their practice racing, I guess.
Hold on, let me back up. Picture number three is of a building I've never seen before. It looks like it might have been a barn.
Yep, right, with the roof falling apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the part I had never seen before yesterday either.
All right, now this is a barn. It looks like a barn.
Yep.
Very steep pitched roof. Same architecture as the house, as all of you can see. It might take a little bit to load these pictures up, but just be patient, they will load up. All right, so we've got two pictures of the house, two pictures of the barn. Okay.
Exactly. I didn't have time to cut them down. They're still fairly high risk.
That's all right. Now, are you telling me that there was a horse farm there and actually an oval racetrack?
No, I didn't see anything with the racetrack. All I saw was the starting gate. Maybe they were using that to sprint, or maybe they had it somewhere else. I don't know. But it's been there for a while. The wheels are down about.
Hey, this is interesting. So there may have been a lot of stuff going on here.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
It appears like.
Yeah.
And remember, back in the day, this was a million miles away from nothing. It was 700 and something miles southwest of Buenos Aires. And the road behind there didn't exist. You had to get to Analco by either seaplane or get to San Carlos de Bariloche on the other end of the lake and then take a boat.
Yeah, somebody's got a lot of pictures of this house in the 1950s. In early 60s or late 40s. I'm sure there
imagine.
Are. Yeah, they're in White Owl cigar boxes or cardboard boxes or photo albums.
On somebody's shelf in the garage.
That's right. That's a big barn. Did you go in there?
Oh, yeah.
What's it look like inside? Just empty? Nothing there?
It's just empty. Well, there's the stalls are still there, but nothing has been maintained for decades. It's just gone to hell in a handbasket.
Well, I having built several homes and so forth, this is, fortunately, it's still salvageable. Could be brought back.
Yeah.
And maybe somebody who buys it will.
When I get back to back to Florida, I'll knock off the videos of this, put them on a chip or a thumb drive or whatever, and mail them off to you.
All right, yeah, I'd like to see that. Maybe we can put together a little miniature documentary from them, which we should do.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like going to a funeral because the place was
I hear
so
you.
Beautiful
well, I,
before.
Yes. Well, look at all of you out there. Just click on the first link, and you'll see. You'll see.
Yeah.
And it had vintage late 40s, early 1950s. Furnishings in it, all right? And I know 50s furniture. I spend a lot of time with architecture and interior design and all that. These were old pieces, old pieces. Probably if they could talk, they would have a hell of a series of their own on TV.
Well, yes.
Yeah. So, very good. All right. So, the guy, Mr. X, is still a possible, okay?
Yes.
Right? All right. Harry and I went through this for months. He doesn't need to have his face on. He can be videotaped or filmed, as they say now, from the back. His face could be obscured with digital.
With a bright light behind him, which puts his face.
It's very simple to do. No one will ever know who he is or what he is. Now, the issue is this: if someone has gotten to him and given him $50,000 or $100,000 for his story, that would explain why he didn't show up too, which bothers me a great deal. And these film companies, as you well know, and as you stated, have limitless money when they're on these projects.
Yeah. And from some of my experience, they're all whores.
Oh, 99%. So the guy was supposed to come out there 2 days before the film crew was there, yes?
No, he was supposed to meet with us. No, the film crew was there 2 days ago, and we were supposed to meet with him the day before, which would be, let's see, we came here Tuesday. That was Wednesday we were supposed to meet with him, and instead his son showed up.
Well, I smell a rat.
The film crew was there, and then Friday we were there.
Very easy for them to pay off enough people to get to the guy, give him money. Oh, Cooper coming here? No. We'll give you $100,000 for your exclusive story. You don't talk to Cooper. You don't do anything. That's a logical scenario here. Not the answer.
We'll find out shortly, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody there, we talked to another old guy who is 74 now, I think he is, and he grew up there, never anywhere else, and we talked to him, very nice old German fellow, German family, but I mean, he lived there his whole life. He never even heard a rumor that Hitler lived at an Elko, and he's 4 kilometers away.
Of course not.
Everybody knew it.
He's just being honorable. That's fine.
Yeah. We went to the German school, wanted to film inside the school. The headmaster says, no, you only want to be here because Priebke was the headmaster and had helped build the school. Yeah, right. Well, they want to distance themselves from Erich Priebke. I met a young lady whose boyfriend is the grandson of Reinhard Kopp. Now, who's Reinhard Kopp? He was German, obviously, and he was also a German agent. He went by the name of Juan Mahler. But when Sam Donaldson, you know, the guy with the fiberglass haircut, when he showed up down there in Bariloche, he was looking for Reinhard Kopp as one of the so-called escaped war criminals, whatever. Put whatever title you want on it. And when he came up to Reinhard Kopp and wanted to interrogate him or interview whatever, Kopp says, no, you don't want me. There's a bigger fish. That's Priebke. And I saw that clip just a couple of months ago. So anyhow, this girl's boyfriend is the grandson of Reinhard Kopp. And so she gave me his email address. His father, the son of Reinhard Kopp, lives in Munich, and I'm going to be there in October. Uh-huh. So I'm trying to pull that together. So I sent this guy an email. Never heard back from him, but a while ago when I talked to my wife on the phone, she told me you called. She also told me this guy called my house.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll get something put together there, too, because everything there is a piece of the puzzle.
Right.
And we put the puzzle together.
Adrian finally got your message and the one I'd sent him about you, and he wants to get together with you if there's any possibility of it.
Yeah, I got your email on that one, and I sent him an email and told him where I'm staying, and I said we can get together tomorrow or Sunday, except tomorrow I'm doing an interview with Nat Geo down here.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it'd be nice to get together with him.
Yeah, very good. Hope so. He knows a lot. A lot.
Yeah, well, you said he was a great guy, so.
Yeah, he is. He's very knowledgeable in the areas that of history that we're concerned with, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and living here, he would have access to a lot of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've known Adrian for a long time. Okay, now, looking at the house, where would the barn be? I'm looking at the front of the house, like over the hill and back in the hinterlands?
If you're looking at the front of the house, your back would be to the lake.
Yeah.
You hike off about 500 meters to your left.
Right.
And that's where it is.
Hmm. When you made the first trip there 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And got in and so forth. When you went out there with on a boat, did you get any pictures of the boat and the crew? That's all I want to say.
Well, okay, that's the 2009 trip. I got pictures of the boat, but I'm going to be contacting all the people who went on that trip with us, or 10 people, and ask if they got pictures of the skipper, because I did not. I got pictures of the boat, but not any of either of the skippers.
Got it. All right.
So you and I are singing out of the same songbook there, apparently.
Yeah.
Great minds think alike.
Well, these big money production companies, TV stations, whatever they are, money is no object to them. And if they were to wave $50,000 in front of Mr. X, or 100,000. Hey, do backflips to grab the pen to sign the contract.
How come they're not offering me 100 grand?
Yeah, no.
They hang up when I call.
Yeah.
Well, not quite, but no. When Hunting Hitler first came out, and we realized what a clown act it was, how they were more sensational than factual, I wrote to the president of A&E, a gorgeous lady, but A&E owns History, which used to be called the History Channel. Now it's History, and they own a whole bunch of other stuff, and they in turn are owned by Disney. She never even bothered to answer me. I sent her several letters. She never,
really?
And they were polite letters, too, not my usual kind. She never even bothered to answer.
Uh-huh.
As long as their cash register is ringing, what do they care?
It's the truth. It's the truth. I don't know what kind of people these are anymore, but they're not my kind of people.
I don't know either.
No. All right, so we got 3 minutes left. What are you going to do the remainder of the trip? Hopefully you'll get to see Adrian Salbucci, the journalist, who is head of the big political movement there, growing very rapidly in Argentina. It's his group.
Good, yeah. Well, the ball's in his court now. I sent him the email, told him where I was, and asked him to give me a holler, give me a call. He can speak Spanish, so he can get through the switchboard here, because only a handful of them.
Well, I couldn't understand what was being said, and I could tell it was, if you want something, push this. If you want something, push that. It was a recording.
Yeah.
And I just waited till the end of it, and then a human being came on. He didn't speak English either, but I kept saying, Cooper, Cooper. And he growled at me and connected me to you.
Yeah.
He didn't growl. I'm kidding.
Yeah. He's really a nice guy, but he's kind of gruff at times. If I can get with him, that'd be fine. Tomorrow, like I say, I'm doing an interview with Nat Geo. Monday, I'm having lunch with a friend of mine who was the former director of the Argentine Atomic Energy Commission.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm heading out to spend a week at Lawrence DeMello's ranch. And there's some irons in the fire we have there that I'm not going to mention until it comes together. But, you know, she's probably the world's number one researcher on Martin Bormann. and just really a brilliant researcher and a really super nice lady. And so we get, I don't know what we're going to, where we're going to do it this time because it's dead of winter here, but when I'm there in the summertime, mm-hmm. she's got a breezeway between her house and the house she lets me have. And we set up our computers and go through our research there. We get a lot done that way.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, Martine knows what his assignment is, right?
Oh, you betcha. We had a long and sometimes bumpy conversation.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, go ahead.
We're going in the right direction.
All right. Harry will be on in, let's see, when are you going to be on next?
I don't know. You set the schedule.
That doesn't mean anything anymore. July 20th, but once you get back and get your pictures done, we'll probably shoehorn you in. Put you here on the 29th, maybe? We can squeeze you in.
Yeah, we'll bounce it around. Like yeah. I say, when I get
whenever
back.
You get time and you've got your everything caught up. Okay, well, you win some and you are still engaged in the game and others.
We still came out way ahead on this better than, you know, with the unfettered access to Analco and some of the other people we've met and opened some more doors. We're still moving in the right direction.
Well, you go back to Florida, just be careful. Here's a headline today. Human remains retrieved from alligator's stomach who dragged woman 47 into pond.
Ooh, that's not a good way to go swimming. I've got, you know, my house is right up against the swamp, too, and we hear gators back there all the time. They never come up. We've never seen them. They're all, you know, 50, 70 feet away.
Really?
I sure wouldn't go back there looking for them. No, they're very timid. They're very timid, but a lot of times...
disagree with you.
Well, a lot of times they start, I don't know if it was in that case, but they start feeding the gators, which is against the law, but that's why, because then the gator decides, hey, this person bringing me food is actually food on the hoof.
On the hoof. All right, thanks, Harry, for staying up, and congratulations on getting done what you did, and we'll continue down the trail.
Okay, I'll get your emails whenever the email thing is working here, and I'll give you a holler when I get back to the... to the civilization there.
All right, very good. Take care. Right. Thanks.
Take care, guy. Bye-bye.
Right. Harry Cooper, and there's your update. And we'll get him back on with lots of pictures and maybe some video clips, too. Back in a minute. Hang on.